Hello there. My name is Cheryl, and you are listening to the Jedi Fangirl Podcast. Hello, and welcome back to Jedi Fangirl, a Star Wars podcast. So, in the previous weeks, we have been discussing all of the live-action Star Wars films in chronological order. We started with The Phantom Menace, Episode 1. This is week 6 of the podcast, and we started in week 2 discussing the episode, so we are now up to Rogue One. Last week we talked about Solo, so this is our last week before we jump into the original trilogy next week with Episode 4, A New Hope. So this week we're going to be talking about Rogue One, and at the end of that we're going to talk about a little bit of current Star Wars news. So let's go ahead and get started. Okay. Again, this week we're going to be talking about Rogue One. This film was a standalone Star Wars movie that took place right before Episode 4. So right before the beginning of our original trilogy. And when this movie came out, I have to say that I did not know that much about it. All I knew is that it was a standalone, was not part of the trilogy. At that point, we were kind of in the middle of getting some of these new episodes when this one was released. And I was definitely more excited about the sequel trilogy and the new episodes, episodes 7, 8, and 9. And I don't know, I just had a lot going on when Rogue One came out. I wasn't that excited about it. I remember I had just moved at the time, I think, that it came out, and went to the theater, saw it by myself. It was right after I moved. I don't think we even had our furniture yet, so it was kind of in a weird place. But I did go to see it on opening day. It was a Star Wars movie. How could I not? So I just didn't really know a lot about it. And honestly, I don't know if it's just where I was at the time and what I had going on personally. But and this is a very unpopular opinion because I know everybody loves Rogue One. But it is probably one of my least favorite Star Wars movies, and I'm expecting to totally get attacked for that, but I don't know. I think part of it was maybe where I was at. Like I said, personally, just had a lot going on and just wasn't as into this movie at the time, at least not as much as I was the sequel trilogy that was coming out. And I think the characters in the movie, to me, I just didn't really feel a connection to them. I didn't know what the ending of Rogue One was going to be when I went into the theater to see it. I didn't really know how it was related, other than it took place in the same universe as all of the other Star Wars movies. But I just kind of was like, where does this even fit in? I don't even really know what to expect at all. And then the characters, to me, the Ursos, Saw Gerrera, Cassian, I just didn't feel a connection with them. They didn't seem to be related to any other Star Wars characters, didn't know anything about them. You know what? And to me, honestly, in some ways, they're just not that likable of characters. I don't know. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more here in a second. So I do like the time frame that Rogue One takes place in. This time frame is between the prequels and the original trilogy. We got this movie before we got Solo, but Solo actually takes place before Rogue One because we know that it's also between the prequels and the original trilogy. And Han Solo is younger, and we know that Rogue One obviously takes place literally right before Episode 4. So what's going on in this time frame? We've got the Empire is in power. Anakin Skywalker is now Darth Vader. It's interesting because I don't think everybody knew that. I don't know. There's people that you see like reading the books. They didn't know that Darth Vader was Anakin Skywalker. They just knew that Darth Vader was this evil, scary guy that worked for the Emperor. So it's funny because I've gone through this discussion for the prequels, and we're at a time now where we're getting ready to get a new season of Clone Wars. We've got The Mandalorian. So I like that we're starting to kind of explore some of these earlier movies. It's like we had the sequel trilogy, and that's kind of after, obviously after the original trilogy. But now we've also got these new shows and books that talk about what's going on with the era of the prequels and the Clone Wars and the same setting, time frame setting as Star Wars Rebels. And I love this time of the Empire and finding out more about it. And it's just interesting to me. So we're in the time of the Rebellion. And I personally just finished reading another one of the canon novels. And this one was Ahsoka, obviously about Ahsoka Tano from Clone Wars and Rebels, who was Anakin Skywalker's Padawan. And I just finished reading that. That takes place kind of at the beginning of the Rebellion. And what's interesting to me is that also featured in Rogue One. He's pretty much a smaller character, but he is in Rogue One. The character of Bail Organa. Now, in the original trilogy, he was Leia's dad, but we never saw him. He was on Alderaan. You know, you never see him in the original trilogy. He's in the prequels, but reading the books, he's one of these characters that you find out so much more about. And he actually was one of the people who kind of originally started the Rebellion. And you don't really find that out that much unless you read the books and you watch Clone Wars and, you know, you watch Rebels, and he's in the book Ahsoka that I just read. And so same time frame. I like finding out more about the Rebellion and how it started. And that's one thing that I do like about Rogue One. So I wish that, and I still haven't read it, but there's another one of the Star Wars canon books is called Catalyst. And it's one I haven't read yet. It came out, I think, before Rogue One, and it was kind of supposed to be like a prequel, precursor to Rogue One. It takes place before Rogue One, and it is about the Ursos. And I wish I had read it, and maybe I'll appreciate Rogue One more after I read it, but it is on my list. So I'm definitely going to check that out. So that's kind of my feeling. I know it's a very unpopular opinion, but that's kind of why I think about Rogue One the way I do. I haven't felt as much of a connection with it as I have felt with the other Star Wars movies. Even as another standalone movie, I really liked Solo, but I also had a previous connection to the characters in Solo, a lot of connection, because Solo does a lot of things as far as telling backstory. It tells you the story of Han Solo. It tells you the story of Chewbacca. There's a lot of connections there. A lot of things that are mentioned in other movies that you find out more about them in Solo. And I love that. And Rogue One is kind of different. It's all new characters that we'd never heard up until this point. We didn't really have a connection with them. We didn't know their background. You know, we're like, who are these people? And they are good characters. I think they could be expanded upon, maybe in the books or in TV shows, but they're kind of like, who are they? And I think that's one reason that I personally don't connect as much to Rogue One as I do some of the other movies, and that's why it's kind of one of my least favorites. But I do still like it. I still think it's a great movie. There are good things about it, and I will talk some more about that here in a second. So here's some of the unique things about Rogue One. It has no opening crawl. So far up until this point, the opening crawl is kind of iconic in the Star Wars universe. It's in A New Hope. It's in all of the, you know, episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We always get an opening crawl. We always get a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And then we get the yellow words scrolling across the screen. And with the two standalones, we haven't got that, which is okay. I think that's cool that they did those differently. They're not a part of the Skywalker saga. I think that's fine that they did it that way. So questions have been asked. People have brought this up. So in future Star Wars movies, since supposedly we're not getting any more Skywalker saga, we're not getting any more episodes, which I kind of hope we don't, because I like, you know, that the original three were kind of the middle of this story and they were their own story, and we can find out more about what happened before that, and we can find out more about what happened after that, and then let that be the end. And I'm fine with that. I kind of hope they don't do an episode 10, 11, 12, but you never know. There's money to be made. We know that. So another thing that we have that's a little bit different in Rogue One versus the other Star Wars movies is that when during the movie it shows a different location, it will tell you exactly where that location is. And I think that's kind of cool. It's helpful. There were a lot of planets, a lot of locations in Rogue One that were new. So it was kind of nice to see where they were. And as always, I'm always all about finding out more about what happens in these movies and, you know, these locations that we see in other books. So I liked that. I thought that that was kind of a good thing. Something interesting that they talk about in Rogue One, a big part of the story, is the Kyber crystals for the Death Star. And obviously Kyber crystals are also used in lightsabers. And the book that I just read, the Ahsoka story, and also an episode of Clone Wars that I just watched recently, kind of tells the story a little bit of how Jedi get their crystals for their lightsabers. And so that's interesting to learn more about too, because we don't really know that much about the lightsabers and how they're built, how they're made, how the Jedi get crystals for them, just from the original trilogy or even from the prequels. So that was kind of cool to see more about that. So let's talk about the characters in Rogue One. So obviously our main character is Jyn Erso. She is the daughter of Galen Erso, you see at the beginning of the movie. Galen and his family are kind of hiding out. He had been involved with the building of the Death Star and left that, kind of hiding out, didn't want to be involved with the Empire, didn't want to be involved in building this tool to destroy planets. And obviously you see at the beginning of the movie that Galen is found. He is taken back to help build the Death Star. His wife is killed right in front of Jyn, and Jyn escapes, because of her parents who saw this coming and they knew that it was going to happen. So Jyn's kind of our main character, obviously. And you know what? So here's the thing. This goes back to what I said earlier. To me, she's just not that likable of a character. She's kind of, I don't know. She's mean when she gets rescued. She doesn't really want to help the rebellion, doesn't really want to be involved, and doesn't really want to open up to anybody. And I kind of get that. I mean, based on what she's been through, but you know, still she just, to me, is not really that likable of a character. So we have another one of the main characters, Cassian, involved with the rebellion. Also to me, just not that likable of a character. I know he works with the rebellion. Great. That's awesome. But then he's tasked with killing Galen, Jyn's father, and he almost does it. I don't know. And then his droid, K2SO, he's funny, okay? K2SO is funny. Don't get me wrong. I do like K2SO. He's hilarious. He brings a lot of character to the movie. And the thing is, though, he's not even that likable. I don't know. It's just, I didn't really connect to these characters that well. And maybe I would if I knew more about them, saw more about them. But that's just kind of my thought. I feel like watching this movie, at any minute, these characters that we're supposed to believe are doing this great mission for the rebellion, you kind of get the feeling like they would all turn on each other at any moment. And I don't know, maybe that's just me, but that's kind of how I felt. Like I the rebels, people involved in the rebellion, they didn't even trust other rebels. I mean, you've got the rebellion and then you have Saw, who's kind of, his group is kind of more intense and they don't even really work with the rebellion just because their methods are so different. And so rebels don't even trust other rebels. So I don't know. That's just me. I mean, I think if I watched this movie more, I might like it more. And if I knew more about the characters and felt more connected to the characters, I might like it more than I do. And this probably sounds really bad because I'm saying this. And I do like the movie. It just happens to be one of the ones I like the least. And I've thought that ever since I first saw it. So another thing that we get in this movie, you've got a couple of characters that are from the original trilogy. It would be hard to not have that considering this movie leads right up into episode 4. So you've got Tarkin and you've got a young Leia. And obviously that movie was made 40 years ago. So we don't have these characters, these people with us. And I mean, Carrie Fisher was alive when this movie was made, but obviously she doesn't look like young Leia anymore. So these two characters had to be computer generated. And I don't know what other people thought about that. I thought that Tarkin looked good. Looked a lot like Tarkin, was very hard to me to tell that he was computer generated. But Leia's character, I mean, you only see her for a few seconds at the end, really, but she just kind of didn't quite look like Leia. I thought Tarkin was a better representation of Moff Tarkin than Leia was, but it worked. It still worked. So as a character, Tarkin is another one that you don't see a whole lot in the movies, but also has a story, has some appearances, and you find out more about him in the books. Ones I can remember off the top of my head that he definitely has a bigger role in, Lost Stars is a great one. He is in that one, and he is also in Leia of Alderaan, and you can kind of see how in episode 4 when, you know, Leia talks about being able to tell his foul stench when she came aboard. You can see, if you read Leia of Alderaan, you kind of get a little bit more of a picture of what her history is with him. So that's kind of cool if you want to check that out. So what did I like about Rogue One? So I thought it had some great visuals. Even just watching this movie, I was watching it yesterday and just pausing it and seeing it, you can see it just looks really, really cool, especially for a war movie. I love the planet of Scarif I would love to know more about it before this movie, but it's just a neat, it's the first time we've really seen kind of a tropical planet like that. And I'd just love to know more about Scarif. So also the characters, well, I said, you know, I've had a hard time connecting with them, and in some ways I don't think they're very likable. I do want to learn more about them because, I mean, I could say that watching the very first movie and be like, oh, well, you know, Darth Vader is not very likable. But knowing his background, having seen the prequels, having seen how he became Darth Vader, having watched Clone Wars and finding out a lot more about Anakin from that, I actually, in reading the novelization for Revenge of the Sith, you find out more about what made him become Darth Vader. And he is a very complex character. And so I do like him as character. It's hard to see sometimes how Darth Vader is this Anakin Skywalker, but he's such an in-depth character, and there's so much to him. And I would love to find out more about the characters in Rogue One. I would love to, and maybe I'll read the book that I mentioned earlier, Catalyst, and find out more about the Ursos. It might make me appreciate this movie more. Because if you really get into this and you start reading the books, you find out that Star Wars, while the biggest part of it is the movies, and it started from the movies, there's so many stories. It's this whole universe full of stories, and it's just fascinating. So another thing I did like about the movie was how perfect – the handoff to episode 4 was at the end. This is very much the lead up to episode 4, the prequel to specifically episode 4 and how episode 4 started and how those plans came into being that were the topic of that movie. So I love that. I love the lead up. Like I mentioned, I do actually really like K2SO. He may not be very likable sometimes, but he's hilarious and has a very fun personality. So again, another thing I do like is the look at this era. The Empire is in control. Palpatine has taken over, and we're starting to see people fight back. Not in a big way, but in a subtle way, and it's starting to build up. The rebellion is at work. I have written in my notes what I like about this movie, and my little bullet point says the look at this era, Empire in control, the rebellion at work, and the galaxy at war. And I think that's a good way to put it. It's a cool era in the world of Star Wars, and I enjoy hearing more about it. So those are some of the things that I like about Rogue One. So there you go. I did have somebody that called in and left a message for me, so I'm going to go ahead and play that now, and then we can talk a little bit more about his thoughts. So this is Dan. He is at PGA Pro 1 on Twitter.
Hi, it's Dan, just a long-time listener, first-time caller here. Rogue One, love it. Great story, great movie, great depiction of Darth Vader at the end. The fight scenes there and his just cruelty towards everyone and the saber was makes the movie just end on a true, true high note, even though the entire film is a high note. I thought the people portrayed in it were great. The actors were great. The storyline was just absolutely phenomenal. I hope it leads to more side stories like this from the Star Wars movies that just keeps growing and growing it for years to come and allows everyone to enjoy it like we did when we were kids. So again, Rogue One, number one in my book. That's all I got. Talk to you later.
All right. Thanks for your input. So yeah, about Darth Vader. Yes, I think he played a great villain in this movie. Was interesting seeing him talking to people and being evil and scary like normal. Again, the movie was a really good storyline. I do like Rogue One for that. I agree that we could use some more side stories. I think I would like to see them have a little bit more character development, and maybe other people think that there was plenty in this movie, but to me, it just really was harder to care about the characters versus other Star Wars characters that you've seen a lot more of. But thanks for your input, Dan. So that's it, I think, for this week talking about Rogue One. I hope you've enjoyed the discussion. And next week, we're going to be talking about Episode 4, Star Wars, as it was originally just called Star Wars, but A New Hope. We'll be talking about that next week. That could be interesting, talking about the very first one. So I'm looking forward to having that discussion. Again, if you have input, feedback, or you want to give me your thoughts about just the podcast, or if you'd like to contribute and let me know your thoughts on episode 4 for next week, and I might include them in the podcast, please go to anchor.fm/Jedi-fangirl. Click on the message or the button that says message and leave me a voice message, and I might feature it on next week's podcast. Also, if you don't want to do that, you can always email me. It's Cheryl, Sheryl, at JediFangirl.com. And again, please visit JediFangirl.com. I have up there recently reviewed the book Queen's Shadow, which talks a lot more about Padme and her handmaidens. So check that out. And coming soon, I think I would like to do a review of Ahsoka, which I just finished, like I said, and also Jedi Fallen Order, which I have played some, but I would like to play it a little bit more before I write a review. So hopefully those will be up there soon on my website at JediFangirl.com. So check it out. Let's go over some Star Wars news. Okay, here is your Star Wars news for this week. There's actually not a lot this week, I didn't think, that I saw anyway. So The Mandalorian, we did find out, I think that this actually came from the Disney earnings call, if what I heard was correct, but A Mandalorian season 2 is coming in October of this year, so that will be a great birthday present for me because my birthday is in October. But that will be exciting to see. A few months to wait before we see more of the child, hashtag Baby Yoda. So looking forward to that, finding out more of what's going to happen there. And another thing that I heard came out of the Disney earnings call that happened the other day, the Star Wars focus is going to be more on Disney Plus, so some TV shows coming for the time being. Obviously, like I said, we've got a season 2 of The Mandalorian coming, and also the Kenobi series. So, yeah. So, no announcements of new Star Wars movies for right now. So, let's see. More news. This isn't really Star Wars news, but I had the pleasure of being on a YouTube Live the other day with another Star Wars podcaster around the galaxy. They are at ATGCast on Twitter. So go check out their YouTube channel as well, and you might see me. So that was fun. It was exciting to talk to some other Star Wars podcasters and some of the people that I've interacted with on Twitter. So that was really cool, and I enjoyed it. And hopefully we'll get to do it again soon. Also, on the podcast next week, again, it is going to be about episode 4, A New Hope. So send me your thoughts on that one if you have thoughts about A New Hope. And I think that's it for this week, guys. This might have been a shorter one. It's been a busy week for me, so that's part of the reason why. But I still always enjoy talking about Star Wars, so looking forward to talking to you guys about A New Hope next week. So that's it for this week. As always, may the Force be with you.